Okay, B'Siyata Dishmaya, we are in Shaar Yichud. We're going to be learning on the Parasha, a Torah that we heard last night from Rabbi Yitzchak on this Parasha. It's Torah 36 in the Kutei Moran. Usually we learn from the Kutei Halachot on the Parasha, but this Torah is so special and it aligns with the Parasha. It's all based off of the Parasha, so we'll try to get it started and we'll see as much as we can do. I can already tell you, we're going to be talking on the ideas of sanctity and purity of the mind and Kiryat Shema and Bilam and Torah and Moshe. So these are the topics and the ideas. Bezrat Hashem, B'Siyata Dishmaya, we'll learn in a way of alignment, learn in order to connect to Hashem, to attach ourselves to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to really download and bring into this world. B'Zchut Reb Nachman Ben Feigen. Lashon Rabbeinu, this was a Torah that was written, mash, handwritten, and brought into the Torahs. And this is the words of Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman starts off with the pasuk, "Bikrov alai mereim lecholet besari." When my friends get up on me in order to eat my flesh. Pasuk from David HaMelech, it's known David HaMelech was chased his whole entire life. So here's another verse of David being chased. Says, even when my friends get up against me to eat my flesh. That's the verse we're working off of. And it starts like this. V'zeu klal, this is a principle, a rule. Because every single nefesh from Israel, every soul from Israel, u'mushash b'shivim nefesh shel Beit Yaakov, is rooted in the 70 souls of the house of Jacob, house of Yaakov. Right? Yaakov and his house, meaning his family, his tribe, went down to Egypt. And they were 70 people. Every single soul in Israel is rooted in those 70 souls. B'shivim nefesh shel Beit Yaakov mushashim b'shivim panim shel Torah. The 70 souls of the house of Yaakov are rooted in the 70 faces of the Torah. The 70 different ways that the Torah can be explained. B'zelu matze asa Elohim. God always makes a balance that on one side, if I have sanctity, if I have to have something on the other side. Everything in this life is balanced. Shekeneged shivim nefesh shel Beit Yaakov hem shivim lashon. In a correspondence to the 70 souls of the house of Yaakov, we have 70 languages. The Jewish people are 70 individuals that make up one house. The nations are 70 different languages, 70 different nations. Shekol lashon. Every single language, meaning every single people, has a different bad trait that the other nations don't have. One nation is known for stealing, one nation is known for murdering, one nation is known for corruption, so on and so forth. Every nation has their own bad trait. And because of those bad traits, they're far from the Torah. Ukshenefesh shel Beit Yaakov ba'a begalut tachat yad shivim neshanot. And when a soul of the nation of Israel comes underneath the galut, the exile, underneath one of these nations, inside one of these places, meaning their traits and their behavior start to infiltrate the Jewish behavior. Let's step back. When Hashem wanted to give the Torah, Hashem went through 70 nations and offered the Torah to all of them. Their own bad trait, that was their unique bad trait, was what made them reject the Torah. Right? One nation said, it's written in the Torah that you can't steal. Our whole people were thieves. That's the essence of our nation. We can't accept it. Another nation, you can't murder. And by us, in our society, murder is part of the world here. It's part of what we do. Can't accept the Torah. Only the Jewish people said, Na'aseh v'nishma. We'll do first, we'll hear later. First, we're accepting it. Right? Now, in our exile, we all live, or have lived, amongst non-Jews. And each non-Jewish nation has a bad trait that it's... part of its culture. And after a while of living amongst these nations, these traits start to infiltrate into us. But they're foreign, and they're bad traits. They're not part of us. Sometimes when we're in Galut, we're in exile, the things that we're around start to get picked up. as we start to pick up these traits, Hazaihi Ramad Shivin Shavin Kalin. What happens when a Jewish soul gets held underneath this reality when you're in Galut? Then it lets out 70 cries, 70 screams, like a woman that needs to give birth, and she lets out 70 screams before giving birth. These are in correspondence to the 70 words in Psalm 20 that we say in every morning. And without that, without the 70 cries, the woman can't give birth. So too, we have to know, in life, we all need to give birth to things, and we need to let out 70 cries before we give that birth, before we give birth to a thing. וזהו כלל שכל נפש מישראל, קודם שיש לה התגלות בתורה ועבודה, אזי מנסים ומצרפים את הנפש בגלות של 70 לשון. This is a rule, a general principle. Any time that there's meant to be a revelation of Torah and in your avodah, meaning a revelation to you, how am I meant to connect to Hashem, how am I meant to bring these things down more and more, before you have a revelation of Torah in your world, then what they do is they want to put you through tests of the 70 nations. They lead you through all of these different tests because they want to give birth to this Torah, meaning you get pulled through the lust of 70 nations. And when you come, when this Jewish soul goes through these nations, meaning going through exile underneath all of these influences, then it sends out 70 screams. Again, we have 7 traits: Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. Each sphira is made up of 10. So we have to know also, although we are talking about physical nations that have physical bad traits, and we are physically under exile underneath those nations, we also have to know that inside of us, we have 70 mini nations. What are 70 mini nations that we have inside of us? 70 traits that are called nations, and when they're misbehaving, so to say, then those are the nations inside of us, right? Meaning you have Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and when they fall down, they're so to say like the nations. You shouldn't act in their ways, you shouldn't walk in their paths. Meaning don't become your emotions, don't become all the feelings that you have. You have to ascend above that. So when a soul gets inside this galut, this level of exile, it lets out 70 cries. Because itgalut ibchinat leida, a revelation of Torah is an aspect of birth. And you have Torah now that wants to be birthed into the world by way of you or for you. So you have to get pulled now through all of these tests of these 70 nations. And when you go there, your soul starts to give out a scream, 70 screams, because it knows that it has to give birth to something now. It has to give birth to a new Torah to come in the world. Because before a revelation of Torah, so then it's in the aspect of ibur, of a pregnancy, of a fetus, an embryo inside the stomach, that the Torah is still hidden. You need to give birth to this Torah, but the Torah at this moment it still hasn't been revealed. It's still hidden. That hiddenness, right? It's so to say, it's like a pregnant woman, that the Torah is still inside. Ke'atamim babeten hamele'ah. So to say, it's like it's hidden inside a full stomach, which is vanochi aster astir. I will hide and conceal my face, right? Meaning I will hide this Torah, this new panim, this one of the 70 faces of the Torah that's going to be revealed. Meaning that when we go inside the galut, when we're in the exile of 70 nations, that's the concealment. Meaning Hashem wants to reveal Torah, He wants to reveal one of the faces of the Torah. And then, Anochi astir astir panai. I, Hashem, will hide, conceal my face. Ki aklipa kadma lapri, because it's a rule that the husk, the sheet, the peel comes before the fruit. Umisho rotze lechol apri, whoever wants to eat the fruit, צריך לשבר מקודם הקליפה. You have to first break the klipa. First you have to break the shell if you want to get the fruit. We don't eat the banana. We don't eat the banana peel. We want the banana. So if you want the banana, you have to break the banana peel. לכן קודם התגלות מוכרח הנפש לבוא בגלות. Therefore, before we have a revelation of the fruit, the nefesh, the soul, the body, the person, has to go through galut, right? That revelation that we want in the world, before we have it, we have to go into galut. What's galut? To get tested by the test, the lust and the test and the bad traits. of 70 nations. In order for us to break those klipas, those negative feelings, those negative traits, those negative lusts, and once we break them, then we broke the klipa, and now we can get the fruit that was hidden inside of there. The revelation of a new Torah that's coming to the world. Veda, and no. Got a question?
So the 70 nations have a unique Torah?
No, they have a unique negative trait, and Hashem has Torah that He wants to reveal in this world. And in order for Hashem to reveal the Torah in the world, like Am Yisrael, again, go back to the story of the Torah. We were a nation, 70 people went inside Galut, inside exile.
Yeah.
Why did we go to Egypt? In order to get out of Egypt and to have a Torah. But yeah. How did Hashem reveal that Torah? First, He made it so to say that these souls have to go inside exile, and we have to be in the stomach. The Torah was still hidden and still in this stage of pregnancy. That was the slavery in Egypt. And then we wanted to get out and to have birth. That's why the Jewish people started to scream out to Hashem. Because Moshe came to say, there's about to be a revelation, there's about to be an exodus. You're about to get out of here, and there's going to be a Torah that comes out of this whole entire story. But first, you're going to exile. So they let out these 70 cries. They were brought into the desert, and a Torah was revealed into the world. So too in life, when there needs to be a revelation of Torah in your life, you too have to go inside exile. What does it mean to go inside exile? Before you have a new level of understanding of Torah, you are going to get tested in your midot. You're going to get tested in your emotions, in your traits, in your actions, and Hashem is going to put through tests. What does that mean? So you could be, Hashem wants to give you a new Torah. Before He gives you that Torah, He gives you an opportunity where you could be promiscuous with a woman. You could steal something. You could lie and cheat a person. All these different tests that a person could go through. Why are you going through those tests? Because there's a new Torah coming down. But before the Torah comes down, we have to still keep the rules of the Torah itself. Like the Jewish people went inside exile before they had a revelation of Torah, so to you as an individual, you're rooted in those people. You too also have to go through an individual test before you can merit to a higher level of Torah. What are those tests and where do they come from? Those are the 70 nations, meaning the 70 non-Jewish nations. Each one of them has a unique negative trait. You have to go through sometimes all of them or some of them in order to give birth to a Torah. And no. Sheklalut Shivim Lashon, what in generally encompasses all of these 70 nations, what is the one thing that surrounds, that involves, that it includes within it all of the nations, all of their bad traits? That's Tavat Ni'uf, a lust for sexual immorality, sexual promiscuity. Vu Tikkun HaKlali, that's the general rectification. Tikkun HaKlali. There's one sin, there's one bad trait that includes all bad traits, and that is sexual immorality. So too, when you rectify sexual immorality, you rectify everything else as well. It goes both ways. If it's the worst thing, when it's done, so then it's also the best thing when it's kept properly. Misha mishaber ta'ava zot, whoever breaks this lust for sexual immorality, azay bekal yachol leshaber kol ha'ta'avot, and easily he could break all of the lust that he has. The rest of the lusts are nothing compared to sexuality. Then, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our prophet Moshe, who is the general aspect of revelation of Torah, if there ever was a human being that represented revelation of Torah, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, we're talking about here that there needs to be a Torah revealed in the world. Who is a human being that is revelation of Torah in the world? Moshe. Shu b'chinat da'at, Moshe's consciousness, is mind, is a proper mind, because the Torah is called reshit da'at. Torah is the beginning of da'at, the highest level of what means consciousness in this world. And it's also taught that Moshe Rabbeinu is gematria tariyag. Moshe Rabbeinu equals the gematria 613. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is the Torah. He is the all-encompassing aspect of the Torah. And because of that, he had to separate himself from everything. Right? It's known that Moshe Rabbeinu stopped being with his wife. He didn't eat. All of these things, that he stopped and he disconnected from the world, detached himself from the world. Why? Because he is the Torah. And Hashem says to Moshe, V'ata po... Amod imadi, you Moshe, you stand here with me. Meaning from the time that Moshe sanctified himself to the level where he ascended into the heavens to bring down the Torah, from that moment there was a different way of life for him. From then we call him Isha Elohim, the godly man. He was, so they say, he was like half angel, half man. He stopped eating, he separated himself from his wife, he stopped talking to people so much. He stayed in the tent of meeting with Hashem. Hashem said, you stay here with me. Meaning stay on this level that you got to, of such a level of godliness where you're going up to the heavens for 40 days, not eating, not drinking, bringing down Torahs. I want you to stay here with me. V'yodea dat elyon. Sorry, and Bilam, who was keneged Moshe baklipa. Moshe is the choicest human being that we've ever had, like the Rambam says. When it comes to prophecy, there was one person that was on his level, and that's Bilam. Bilam was keneged Moshe, meaning face to face, in opposition, like you had the power of Moshe, that is Moshe Rabbeinu, this gematria tariag, includes the whole entire Torah, he is the mind of the Torah, he is the mind behind everything. Like you have Moshe, on the other side, like we learned before, everything is a balance in this world, so too, there was the klipa called Bilam. V'yodea da'at elyon. It says about Bilam in the Torah, in this week's parasha, that he knew da'at elyon. He knew the highest levels of consciousness. He knew, so to say, the thoughts of God. He knew the mindset of the flow of what's coming down from heaven. So if you have Moshe Rabbeinu that's equal to Tariyag, Moshe Rabbeinu is the all-encompassing Torah, and then you have opposing him, a prophet of the same level, that knows the mind, so to say, that's trickling down. Reb Nachman says, understand that also there's a power and a connection to the Torah. Gam otiot Bilam miramzim shu baklipa keneged the Torah. The word Bilam itself, the name Bilam, this prophet's name, shows you that he is the opposing force on the same level of power to Moshe Rabbeinu against the Torah on the other side. How? Let's take his name and break it down. Bet Lamed Ayin Mem. Bet is Atchalat HaTorah. It's the beginning of the Torah. The Torah starts Bereshit. First letter is Bet. The next letter of Bilam's name is Lamed. Lamed is the end of the Torah. Le'enei Kol Yisrael. The last letter of the Torah is Lamed. So you're already in Bilam's name. First two letters, we have the first letter of the Torah, and we have the last letter of the Torah. Ayin is the next letter. What is that? That's Ayin is Gematria 70. It's the 70 faces of the Torah that we talked about. And Mem is in correspondence to the 40 days. Mem is Gematria 40. That's the 40 days that the Torah was given in. So Bilam's name is an acronym to show you that he is the opposing force of the same power to Moshe Rabbeinu on the side of evil. Moshe is Gematria Tariyag, 613, sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu equals 613. He aligns with the whole entire Torah's commandments. And Bilam is Bet, first letter in the Torah, Lamed, last letter in the Torah, Ayin, 70 faces of the Torah, Mem, the 40 days of the Torah was given. And since he's in the Klipa, meaning he's on the negative side, Lefichach u'mishuka b'ta'avot hazot b'yoter, therefore he's sucked into this lust, this negative trait of ni'uf, of sexual immorality, more than anybody. Like it's written, ha'asken iskanti. It's known that Bilam was with his donkey. He had relations with his donkey. He was such in a deep place of klipa, of impurity, that those are the levels that he got to. Moshe Rabbeinu separating himself from the world, and stopping to be with his wife, and stopping to eat, and going to pure godliness above physicality. And Bilam is so disgusting and so dirty and so sunken into these negative spiritual traits that he's doing the worst physical thing possible. A chamor, a donkey, is materialism, and he's unifying himself with that. Gam Yosef, kodem shaita lo itgalut b'Torah, ainu chokma bina, reshit chokma. Also Yosef, before he had a revelation in Torah, meaning before he merited to the levels of Chochmah and Bina, so too he had a test. Right? Before he had a revelation of Torah, he had to go through the test of being inside of Potiphar's wife's house, Potiphar's house. And there he was tested more than one time, more than two times, more than four times a day by Potiphar's wife in this same test of the all-encompassing 70 languages, the 70 nations, which again is sexual immorality. And by way of him standing through this test and breaking the klipa that came before the fruit, so then he was able to get to the fruit, meaning to the revelation of Torah, which is Chochmah and Bina. And it says about Yosef, after he went through this test, Ein Navon v'chacham kamocha. There is no one with such Bina, understanding, and Chochmah, wisdom, like you. Before that, they didn't say anything like that about Yosef. Yosef was a holy kid and everything, yes, we know that. Only after he managed to break through the test of Potiphar's wife, trying to seduce him all day long, did he become a king over the whole entire world. He ruled over physicality, and it says that there's no one with more wisdom and understanding than you. Meaning you merited to Chochmah and Bina. And therefore it says, the rabbis say on the Pasuk, Al tatu achil avchem v'acheinechem. Don't go after your eyes and your heart. After your heart, what is that? Minut. Idol worship, other things, bad thoughts, bad beliefs. What's after your eyes? That's sexual immorality. Your heart leads you on a place of philosophy and ways of thinking that are against God, and your eyes lead you to physical actions that are against God. Gam Shimshon alach acharei nafso. So too, Shimshon, Samson, went after his eyes. Gam Bilam, right? Gam Bilam, also, he's called Shetum ha'ayin. He had a sealed eye. He was like a cyclops, right? One eye went bad. He lost his sight in one of his eyes, and it sealed off, so to say, because of his sexual immorality, because of the disgusting things that he was doing with his donkey. He lost vision in his eyes. Because he is the all-encompassing bad of all of the bad traits combined together, but again, which is immorality. Therefore, when we read the first pasuk of Kiryat Shema, right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When we say that pasuk, צריך להצים את עיניו. You have to close your eyes. Your eyes have to be closed. בבחינת אולימתא שפירתא דלית לעינים. It's explained in the Zohar that there is this world, this beautiful world, this beautiful soul, this beautiful place that has no eyes. כי תיקון של יורי זנות שבא לאדם שאומר שמה וברוך שם. What's a tikkun, what's a rectification for all of the thoughts of immorality that you had, sexual immorality that you had, that you should say the verses Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto L'Olamim.
Both with your eyes closed.
Because ta'avat ni'uf, because the sexual immorality comes from an uprooting of the blood, meaning from the spleen, which is the wife of the Samech Mem. We don't say her name, but it's Lamed Yud, and then the letter Tav, which is Shivcha Bisha, which is the maidservant. Ima de Erev Rav, the mother of the Erev Rav. She Malchut Arisha, the evil empire. Malchuta Dishmaya Uchrat Gvirta, and the kingdom of heaven, that's the aspect of the giver, of the man, of the Isha Irat Hashem Gvirta, sorry, not the man, the woman of the house, like Sarah, right? Sarah and Hagar. Hagar, Ishmael's mother, was a Shifcha Bisha, she was a maidservant, she was a slave woman, right? And Sarah was the Gvirta. And it says Sarah's whole claim was the Shifcha Yoreshet Gvirta. The maidservant's going to take the rule of the woman of the house. I'm the one that told Avram to be with you to get you pregnant. Now you think you're going to tell me what to do. You're going to make fun of me. You're going to laugh at me. You're going to get... And that's why Sarah wanted to give her down. You're a maid. Don't forget you're a maidservant. I'm the one that makes the decisions here. That's how it's meant to be. The woman, the Jewish side, the power side of Kedusha should be on top. The side of the holiness should be on top, not on the side of the Egyptian power. Isha Yirat Hashem, this is a woman with awe of Hashem, which is the aspect of the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Sea of Shlomo. Ha'omedet al-shnei masar bakar, that's standing on 12 bulls. which are these 12 tribes of Hashem. And when a person receives them on himself, Ol Machut Shamayim, Be'eru Psukim, when you say Shema, what are you doing? You're saying those words, but you're in your mind, you should be crowning Hashem over you. Meaning in every facet of your life, I need Hashem to be the king there. When you do that, and you include your soul inside the 12 tribes of Hashem, and you separate your soul from the soul of Erev Rav, from the side of all the negative things covering up Hashem, that come from Isha Zona, come from a prostitute woman, the Erev Rav, which is this maidservant, Shivcha Bisha. Mipnei Sarai Gevirti Anochi Borachat, I'm running away from Sarai, my master, right? Hagar was running away from Sarah. Shatava Borachat Venifredes Mino, that means that the ta'ava, the lust, the sexual immorality or any other lust starts to run away from you, starts to strip away, right? When Sarah put her foot down and she says, what are you doing? You think you're going to inherit me? You're going to take over my power? Hagar was kicked out of the house and she ran away. You ask, where are you running away from? I'm running away from my master, meaning from Sarah. I'm running away from the kingship of holiness. The klipa wants to separate itself from you when you say Shema Yisrael. If you don't have that in your mind, that I'm crowning Hashem over me, I'm making Hashem the king over my whole entire life, if you don't have that in mind, then it could be that the forces of evil actually start to take power. In these two psukim, Shema Yisrael and Baruch Hashem, there are 12 words, 6 and 6, and that's in correspondence to the 12 tribes of God. And there's 49 letters in correspondence to the 49 letters that make up the 12 names of the tribes of God. And when we receive on ourselves the kingship of heaven, which is the aspect of Yam Shul Shlomo, the Sea of Shlomo, and our souls separate themselves from the souls of the Erev Rav, which is the maidservant, which is the prostitute woman, and we are included inside the 12 tribes of God, which is Yisha Yirat Hashem, a woman with God-fearing woman, that's the aspect of closing the eyes in the moment of taking upon yourself the kingdom of heaven. To show, by way of me accepting this kingdom of heaven on me, this world, this beautiful world that doesn't have eyes, which is the lust that includes all of the languages of the 70 nations, meaning sexual immorality. I close my eyes, I get rid of all of that. I separate myself from the klipa. I get rid of all of my lust and I crown Hashem over every facet of my life by way of the 6 letters in Shema, 6 letters in Baruch Hashem, 12 words which are the 12 tribes, right? And each of the tribes' names, if you take the letters of their names together, you get 49 letters, which are the 49 gates of Tshuva, which are the 49 letters of the Shema, and you're all coming back to it. All of this, this is all when you have a thought out of nowhere, a random thought that comes to you. Right now we got an Eitzah. If you ever have a thought of a lust, of a bad trait, specifically if it's sexual, close your eyes. Say those two psukim with the intention of crowning Hashem over me and I'm getting rid, I'm separating my soul from all negativity, from all lust, from all bad things. You can save yourself from that. It's a tikkun. That's if a person, all of that we just talked about up until now, is if it happened to you, it came out of nowhere. But a person who usually thinks about these things, who habitually thinks about these negative lusts, God forbid, and he's not able to separate himself from it, then what does he have to do? It's not enough to read Shema. You have to read Shema and you also have to cry. There has to be tears coming out of your eyes when you read Shema, if you're a person that thinks about these things too much. Because it said, Dma'ot, tears, come from the Motarot Mara. They come from the Mara Shchora. They come from the what's left over, the excess of what's left out in depression, what's left in the spleen. In your spleen you have garbage and you have waste that needs to be removed there. What is made out of that waste? Depression. And what's made out of depression? Tears. And that's the evil empire, the bad side, the prostitute again, the souls of the Erev Rav. And when you let tears out of your eyes while saying Shema, while crowning Hashem over you, and then what happens when you cry, when you accept Hashem over you, then they're pushing out all of this depression, all of this negativity, all of the bad that's in your spleen is coming out of your eyes, in your tears. And that is the play, that is a release. Like when we work out, we sweat and we let out all of the bad that's inside our body, right? We're sweating out. So too now when you cry during Shema, you're sweating out all lust. You're sweating out sexual immorality out of your body. You're crying it out of you. It all comes from the spleen, from the bad blood that we have inside of there, from this excess and from this waste that we have there. And then you include your soul inside of the soul of the kingship of heaven. And this is what Yonatan, there's a translation called the Translation of Yonatan, and he says on this parasha, when they were all there, they're sitting in the gates, right? And it says, "Vehem abochim petach oel moed." They're there sitting in the opening of the tent of meeting. Bachyan v'korin et shema. What's the translation of that? They were sitting at the tent crying. They were sitting crying and saying Shema. Why did they do this? To save themselves from the thoughts of a promiscuous woman, which is what they were trying to attack them with, right? Balak and Bilam, what was their strategy? Let's trip them up in sexuality. Their God hates sexual immorality. Let's hit them there. And that was their plan. So they all sat there in the tent of meeting, in the opening of the tent, crying their eyes out. What does it mean they're crying their eyes out? They had thoughts of immorality, they closed their eyes and they cried to crown Hashem over them. And they got rid of that thought of immorality out of their eyes by way of their tears. Why? Because they were experiencing the klipa, the husk, the peel that comes before the fruit. And they were waiting for a revelation of Torah. And this is what happens. This is what we need. We need to know that we have, before any revelation of Torah, we have tests. We have tests. We bring new souls into this world when Torah comes into this world. New souls means new levels of connection, new levels of understanding, that you understand these things properly. And Bilam, he was doing the opposite. He was trying to look at all of the bad in Israel and to speak about the bad in Israel, to separate us, to connect us more to the Erev Rav, to detach us from Hashem. He was looking at all the bad that we had and trying to amplify it. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the tzaddik, speaking of the level of truth, that he knew a higher level than Bilam. Even though they were equal and they knew the same amount, Bilam knew how to look at all of the bad and try to work off of the bad to amplify the negative side of the deen and the judgments of our actions. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to look on a higher level than that, to see the ma'ut, to see the essence, where we're rooted. We're rooted in Kodesh, we're rooted in sanctity. We're rooted in a much loftier place, in a place that nothing can touch that, nothing can blemish that, nothing can affect that. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke on that point. And Moshe Rabbeinu always revealed how we're not going to give up and how we're going to fight and how we really are rooted in holiness. And that all of the bad things that people could come say against us and all of the plans that they have against us will all fall apart. We have to be careful. One of the main things that we have to worry about in our life is guarding our mind, our eyes, our heart, and our body from sexual immorality. From this lust that includes all lusts. People always want to judge others that they steal and they talk bad and they this, and then they themselves don't guard themselves in the worst things of the worst thing. There's nothing worse than being sexually immoral, because what you're doing is you're taking, especially for the man, those seeds that you're spilling come from your brain. You're taking your brain power. You're taking the ability to be able to look at things that are going in this world and to paint beautiful pictures with them. They start to get attached to negative places. You start to be able to lose your eyes like Bilam, to be able to see the good that's coming down into this world. And then if you can't see properly, you start to go after the bad things and you start to get confused and you start to even maybe become unified with physicality on such a disgusting level. Because we lose the ability of our mind, we lose the power in our mind, we lose our energy when we spill seed. And on the other side, it's not yours. If it's not yours, you're not allowed to go there. Stop lusting after things that are not yours. It's one of the Ten Commandments. All of this takes and strips our energy away from us. We need to have our mind pure and our mind dedicated to one thing, to chase after that and to amplify that. when our eyes are around seeking different things, so then we fall into a lot of problems and a lot of confusion. And the main thing that we need to know is we're so protected and we're so loved that nothing could ever touch us. This man, Bilam, every time he opened his mouth, again, most powerful prophet that you have in the world besides Moshe, anytime he opens his mouth to curse, it comes out a blessing. It comes out a blessing. What he thought was so available to be twisted, light that's coming down, and you can make it form it in this world however you want, Hashem took over and always flipped it into blessing, flipped it into blessing. We have a lot of enemies in our life that are always trying to come and pull us down. We can't be afraid of them. We have a God. We have Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Tariag. We have Torah. We have tools and connections and paths that ascend above any curse like there could ever be. Above any twisted reality. Above any plans of our enemies. Any strategies that they make. We have tools and pathways to ascend above all of that. And even if they're internal, right? A lot of us are struggling just internally to be good people, to stay connected, to fight for what we know to be true. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Just here, Israel, just here. God is one. The God that you see up there, that you think is up there, and the Elokeinu, the reality of this world and the nature that we're experiencing here, that's all God and it's all one. The emphasis in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is the word Echad. It's one. That means there is nothing else. There is nothing else. Everything is one. And if that's the case, then nothing can bring me down, nothing can hurt me, nothing can prevent me from going and achieving that goal of coming closer to Hashem. How do we do this? We have to get rid of our basar, right? We started off with the pasuk. The story started, "Bikrov alai mireim lechol et basari." When I have these two friends that are coming towards me, meaning Tren Re'im, these two friends is always Chochman Bina, Yud and Kei. Meaning when I have a unification that's coming to bring me new Torah into this world, what happens? Lechol et besari. At that moment I have to eat my flesh. What does it mean to eat my flesh? I have to get rid of all of my lust. I have to get rid of the main lust, which is the flesh, the lust of the flesh, to get rid of sexual immorality. And when I do that, what happens? Tzarai ve'oivai li hema chashiru ve'nafalu. Those that are coming to oppress me, those that are coming to afflict me, the 70 nations that I have to go through before the revelation of this Torah, hema chashiru ve'nafalu. They will fail and they will fall away. Hashem wants to give you new revelations of Torah. The way He's going to give you that is by way of first going through tests. If you take your flesh and you give it back to Hashem, you sanctify your flesh back to Hashem, then all of your tests and all of your enemies will fall away immediately. And you'll be able to give birth to a brand new idea, to a brand new Torah that comes into this world. That's what this Torah is coming to teach us. Torah Lamed Vav 36 in Likutei Moran. Masterful teaching by Reb Nachman. That essentially, we can't give up. We have tests in this world. It's all coming to reveal a new Torah, to reveal new souls in this world. And before any good revelation, there has to be a klipa, there has to be a peel, a husk, a shell. If we want the fruit, then we break the shell. If you want to eat the banana, you have to take off the peel. A person who would go after eating the banana peel is foolish, is twisted, doesn't understand, is backwards. It doesn't make sense to do that. When the fruit is right there on the other side, all you have to do is just split it. You have to just get to it. So, Bizat Hashem, may we all learn from this and go into this Shabbat where all of the great levels of Am Yisrael are discussed. Ma tovu alecha Yaakov, how good are your tents? How tzanuah are we? How much modesty we have in our nation? How much blessing we have in our nation? How much connection we have in our nation? What tzaddikim we have defending us at all times? What a God we have that loves us and flips any curses against us into blessings. A lot of the power of Am Yisrael is revealed. We rise like a lion, right? The name of this last war we had, it comes from this parasha. Mezat Hashem, we're going to see all of the prophecies that are mentioned in this parasha come to truth speedily in our days. Amen. Ken Yiratzon.